Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I visited with you, and I mentioned that this message, it was the message about George Mueller, that it was aimed especially towards you young people in our midst. Everybody can gain, obviously, can gain from the faith and life of another person, but it was aimed especially at you younger people. And this one is also, it's aimed at you younger people. And I'm defining younger as 35 years of age or younger. That's younger. That's what I'm speaking about. And the reason that I want to specifically, especially direct this towards you younger men and women is because you're at a place in your life, a season in your life, where decisions are being made that will affect the impact of your life. See, I want to talk to you today about Hudson Taylor. And the thing that stands out to me in that man's life is that he started a legacy. He didn't just live his life. He lived his life in such a way that a legacy was born through his life. For example, you could work at your job and have this experience and this attitude, I'm going to punch in, I'm going to do my job, I'm going to punch out, and you do that for your life and it's over. Or you could show up at work knowing that God has put you here, knowing that you are responsible to Him, and just ask Him, God, help me to honor you. And maybe you notice something that needs to be done and it becomes company-wide. Or worldwide. This has happened before. And when you leave, your legacy stays. And that's what I'm talking about. Only this is eternal stakes. And I want to just display this as best I can in the few minutes I get to talk with you this morning, how God developed in Hudson Taylor a walk with Him that allowed him to have a legacy that became a lot more than just little old Hudson Taylor could accomplish in his life. Honestly, the guy was fairly frail, and yet he accomplished an amazing legacy. So let's pray here as we get started. God, we thank you so much. Thank you that you're involved with the human life. I was just thinking about this week, that you say it pleased you to crush your own son because of us, because you wanted to reconcile us and flow through us. Get those motors started again this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this legacy I'm talking about, really, you could say, started with Hudson Taylor's parents. They were the ones that prayed that God would send a mission work into China. For some reason, it was on their heart. And they prayed and they prayed, and they never went that I know of. But God raised up their son. I think they probably had that in mind, that maybe one of their children would end up being part of that missionary work, going to China. Well, God did it. Hudson Taylor was saved at age 17. 17 years of age, he wandered into his dad's library. The house was empty. Happened to pick up a book, and he started reading, and he thought, I'm going to read this till I get bored, and then I'm going to put it down. And something gripped him about the finished work of Christ. And he thought, finished work of Christ, what is that? And he got saved. And shortly after that, God put it on his heart to be a missionary in China. What I want to share with you this morning, especially you young people, is that this man began preparing to be used by God. He did a lot of things. For example, he studied Chinese and Greek and Hebrew and Latin. You think, what is that good for? Well, a little later in his life, he ended up translating the Bible into Chinese, so the knowledge of language was important. He exercised more, tried to take good care of his little temple. Still a fairly frail person, but he gave it his best shot. This picture doesn't it look a little boyish? That is the age that God called this man into action and where he responded with preparation. He went to medical school to learn a skill that would be useful. And indeed, this was one of the most inviting things of his entire work, at least at the beginning in China, was that he was a medicine man. And it was very winsome to the Chinese, the sick in China. It was a skill that was extremely useful. I want to ask you, young men and women here, do you think of yourself developing a trade or a skill that God might be able to use? That's what he has in mind. That's what he has in mind. That's what Hudson Taylor had in mind. He decided that work in China might be a little demanding and might be without very many comforts, so he gave up his feather bed and started sleeping on something harder, just to change, to prepare himself for the rigors of his ministry in China. He gave up evening church. You think, what is that good for? Well, his church experience was you go to church in the morning, then you return in the evening and have church again. And he thought, you know, if I went out on Sunday evening, I could hold Bible studies in various homes, and that's what he did. Sunday evenings for him were devoted to Bible studies in various people's homes, and he became welcome in many homes sharing the message of Christ, the full message of Christ. And one night, he was on his way home, and somebody came up beside him and said, Hudson, my wife is sick, really bad. Can you come and pray for my wife? And he said, yeah, I'll come. And he went up, and as soon as he walked in the door, he knew what was going on. Their temples were sunken. The baby at her side, at this mom's side, was moaning, not crying. They were starving. And as he knelt down to pray for this woman and for this family, he thought, you know, I got a coin in my pocket, my last British coin in my pocket. And God just began to wrestle with him, and he did not want to part with it. And later on, he scolded himself, thinking, now what was I thinking? I can trust you, God, as long as I have a coin in my pocket, but if I don't, I can't? And he reasoned, that's ridiculous. And you know, he gave the coin to that family, and it helped. But it helped Hudson the most, because he knew that if he was going to go to China, he would have to learn that God was reliable. And the next morning, he didn't get postal service on Monday morning, except this Monday morning. This Monday morning, the postal service brought him a letter, and in it was four times as much as he had given the night before. And he logged it. He logged it in mind. I told you that he was working as a medical student, and he worked in the lab or as an intern with a Dr. Hardy. And one period of time, Dr. Hardy forgot to pay him. And Hudson was aware of this, but this is what Hudson had determined to do. He would learn to move men through God by prayer. That was his motto, move men through God by prayer. He would not tell Dr. Hardy, hey, you forgot to pay me. He talked to God about it. God, take care of me. And the night before his rent was due, they were in the lab together. It was late at night, and they were just finishing up. This was a pharmaceutical lab, and Hudson was over here. Dr. Hardy was over there, and Dr. Hardy says, oh, I forgot to pay you. Hudson's emotions, whoo! Then Dr. Hardy says, oh, I took all of our money to the bank this afternoon. I don't have anything. Ooh. Dr. Hardy left, and there was Hudson. God, what is going on? A few minutes later, Dr. Hardy returned. He said, this is weird. This never happens. It's 10 o'clock at night, and the richest guy in town owed me a little bit and could not rest until he paid me. Here, Hudson, this isn't all I owe you, but you can have this. And he went home, and he wrote basically in his mind, if not in his journal, I don't remember which it was, then I can go to China. Because I can trust you, God. You are faithful. This is extremely critical to the legacy, as we'll get to in a little bit. 2.5 years after he entered medical school, the Chinese Evangelization Society had an opening for somebody to go to China. Hudson thought, is this it? It was it. He went to China with the Chinese Evangelization Society. It took 5 months. He left in September, didn't arrive in Shanghai until March of the following year, 1854. And when he set foot on the China soil, there was a lot of riot going on. There was always riot going on throughout his time in China. But during those first 6 years he was there in China, it was on his heart to take the gospel inland. China's a big country. And a lot of the work, mission work, was going on in these cities, you know, Beijing and so on, around the coast. Hudson wanted to take it to the many millions in the provinces inland. So in those first 6 years, he made at least 10 missionary journeys, kind of similar to what we would read in the book of Acts with Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas. Big, I'm saying they're big, all the way up the river and back, visiting village after village after village, taking the gospel there. And he gained experience. One time he was sharing in a village, and I thought he had a real rapport with the crowd. They seemed to be paying attention closely to him. When he was finished, somebody came up and said, "Why are there buttons on the back of your coat?" And he realized that he was a major distraction. What he was wearing was a distraction to the Chinese. They were peculiar about this. And he determined from that time on, he was going to dress like a Chinaman. And he actually even grew this ponytail that some of them wear over there and wore their funny cap, you know. He was going to not let that be a distraction. And I decided this morning that I would let my shirt hang out. This is extremely uncomfortable for me. But I noticed that most of you don't tuck your shirts in. Okay, I can do it if you want. Let me know if that comforts you. Because otherwise, I'm going to stick it back in. Anyway, he determined that's how he was going to live. During that first 6 years, he met and married the sweetest companion of his life, Maria Dyer. She was absolutely perfect for his ministry. It was uncanny how perfectly fitted they were to ministering together. Very important part of his first 6 years. Another thing that happened was that he was a medical guy, and over in England, a man by the name of Dr. Parker found out about this and decided, you know, I think I should go over and help. So Dr. Parker went to China, and they labored together some, and then Dr. Parker moved away a ways, and he built a hospital and was ministering over in this neighboring city. Dr. Parker's wife died after a very short illness. And he was absolutely grief-stricken. He had some young kids, and he thought, I have to go back. I have to go back to England. So he contacted Hudson. He said, Hudson, can you take it over? Now, wait a minute. The Chinese who were coming to this hospital were not paying customers. This was being done out of Dr. Parker's funds that he was gaining from other medical practice. So the real issue for Hudson was partly, can I afford it? God, I don't have money. Can I do this? And he decided, well, you're the one with the money. I think this would be good. So he did. He trusted the Lord for the funds, for the medicines, and for the staff. You can imagine, this is a pretty big hospital. And the thing about this hospital was nobody was paid. Everybody was volunteering their labor, and it was a joyous place. They would often be singing, and if you don't think that is attractive, you're not thinking right. Many dozens came to faith in Christ as a result of being sick and being healed and being ministered to freely. This was extremely important work in this man's life, but it was also draining. And after the 6 years, he knew he needed to go back to England to heal. It was 1860. He'd been at this 6 years. And so he left the hospital in other hands and left his ministry in other hands and went back to England. And he was in England for 5 years, not just healing. He also translated the Bible into a Chinese dialect at this time. and he continued some of his medical training at this time. But probably the most significant thing that happened during this 5 years back in England was that he began to see that the work was bigger than just Hudson Taylor. He would need laborers. He would need fellow missionaries. There were two of them that came back from China, Hudson and Maria. He prayed about it and he thought, you know, God, I want to ask you for 24 missionaries to go back with me. And he did. Now is when I want you to understand the absolutely critical, pivotal effect of Hudson learning he could rely on God. Because he only selected men who would likewise trust God for their provision. If Hudson Taylor had gone to the Chinese Evangelization Society and said, we need more workers, it would have taken years to have seen them raise up, and more years for the Chinese Evangelization Society to be able to find the funds for them. In fact, by this time, Hudson Taylor himself had resigned from the Chinese Evangelization Society because they were paying him, whenever they got around to it, from loaned money. And Hudson said, God can do better than that. And he never wanted his ministry to reflect a reliance upon someone unreliable. And so these 24 men were able to grow because they all relied on God. That's what he was experienced in. So that's what he could tell them to do, and they never lacked. In 1874, he prayed for 18 more. In 1881, he prayed for 70 more. In 1886, he prayed for 100 more and received each time. By 1939, there were almost 1,300 missionaries in China. This is 34 years after Hudson Taylor had died. That's a legacy. That is a vision that is imparted that connects man with God in such a way that I can believe him too. That is a legacy. Inland China opened to the gospel largely as an outcome of Hudson Taylor's life. Tens of thousands of souls won to Christ in previously unreached provinces. Nearly 1,300 missionaries depending on God to supply all their needs without promise of a salary. A mission which has never made an appeal for financial help, yet has never been in debt. It has never asked anyone to join its ranks, yet at present, when this was written, is seeking God for another 900 new members by 2011. This is a legacy. God is reliable. And I want you to think about that, young people. Think about that. Are you making preparations for a very useful life? My cousin died on Friday. He's only 55 years old. I'm older than that. My life should be over, maybe. I mean, life is short. Prepare to have a legacy. There are other preparation requirements as well. One thing you have to do is to prepare for loss. Prepare to lose. Jesus was very clear about that. If you're not ready to lose it all, you're not going to learn of him. Hudson Taylor, I won't, for sake of time, I won't find it and read it, but he makes a funny comment. There aren't two Christs, one for the easy, one for the hard, one for the life of the easy road Christians, and one for those who are engaged otherwise. It's one Christ. And he said, if you want to be my disciple, if the most precious thing you want in life is to know me, it's going to cost you. Hudson lost his daughter. His oldest daughter, at about age 8. He lost his wife. They'd been married 12 and a half years, and she died in the heat, cholera. This was right after she had given birth to, I think, their fourth or fifth child. And because she had cholera, she couldn't feed the baby, and the baby died as well. as the days rolled on, the boys were getting to where they really should be educated, and there was no place in China for them to be educated, so they determined to send those boys back. This is particularly difficult for, at that time, their youngest son, Samuel. At only 5 years old, Samuel, the youngest of the boys, was the one whose health had suffered most. With concern, his parents saw that the strain of the coming separation, that is, their leaving dad and mom, was increasing his chronic trouble. All night they watched beside him on the boat that was taking them down the canal from Yangchao. But at dawn the following morning, he became unconscious. And there on the boat floating down the Yangtze River, he passed away. In the midst of a driving storm, the tailors crossed the river, which was about 2 miles wide at that point, to lay their young son in a cemetery at Chongqing. From there they went on with the others to Shanghai. A few weeks later, after escorting them all aboard the ship, a French mail ship, which was to sail at daylight, Taylor wrote this to Mr. Berger, who was going to take care of them. He said this, "I've seen them awake for the last time in China. About two of our little ones, we have no anxiety. They rest in the bosom of Jesus. And now, dear brother, though the tears will not be stayed, I do thank God for permitting one so unworthy to take any part of this great work, and do not regret having engaged in it." Why didn't he regret it? Because he made this decision a long, long time ago. He knew there was going to be suffering. It is his work, not mine and not yours, yet it is ours, not because we are engaged in it, but because we are his and we're one with his work. I love that. No regrets, because the work isn't mine. It's his. I'm just involved with Jesus. He's here. I've told you folks before that many times in my work at Iowa State, there were fearful days, just a lot going on. And I just got this in my mind. Jesus is already over there at the barn. Go over there. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of things. That's what it was for Hudson. And then there were dangers, a lot of dangers. From the time he set foot on Chinese soil, the riots, not always directed at them, but the riots, you could get caught in the crosshairs and die just crossing the street. That happened many times. There were martyrs in this work. They were misunderstood. The entire English community was hearing that the work that Hudson was doing was causing a war. It was fabrication. And many stopped funding him at that point. God raised up, who would you guess? It was George Mueller to be his provider. George Mueller was fantastically involved. I can't read that. I wish I could. It's fascinating. How George Mueller, this penniless Englishman, well, actually he was a German, but provided not just for thousands of orphans, but also for many missionaries. But I want to visit with you a little bit about some of this danger and about the evangelist's mindset towards danger. I trust we are all fully satisfied that we are God's servants sent by him to the various posts we occupy, and that we are doing his work in them. He set before us the open doors we have entered. And in past times of excitement, that means danger, he has preserved us. We did not come to China because missionary work here was either safe or easy, but because we were called. And I want to tell you that many have said starting a church in Decorah was not a good idea. We're called. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's easy or hard. We're called. There's some special things. Tim can share it again sometime. We're called here. The story of Hudson Taylor is a story of leaving a legacy. He was just one man with a passion from God. But his greatest desire was to know and obey Jesus. More than wanting to take the gospel everywhere in China, he wanted to abide in Christ. That was his real passion. And that just happens to be where it took him. More than wanting to be busy with the things of God, he wanted to be busy with God, praying for every need he had, and listening for every response to that need. So where do we go with this? What do you learn from Hudson Taylor's life and his legacy? You know, are we all supposed to quit our jobs and move to the poorest part of town and just pray for God to provide? I don't think so. I don't think that's the story. But are you doing anything now to prepare for a life of a legacy? To leave something or start something that's bigger than you? Or are you just going to die and that be the end of your life? It doesn't go any farther. Hudson Taylor found it necessary to read the Bible, entire Bible, over 40 times. Are you at least having a regular time in the Scriptures? This is preparation, young people. This isn't something the old folks do. This is preparation. You have to gain an experience with God, and this is how he speaks to us. Are you developing a quiet time? You don't have to just give up everything you've got. How about tithing? How about proving God to be faithful by giving from what he's already given to you? Otherwise, what do you really know about him? Is he faithful to you or just to Hudson Taylor and a few others? You know, Tim and I could bore you to tears with the list of things that we have seen God do and our meager little contributions to him. I'm serious. Thousands of dollars that God has just faithfully returned to us. We're not being foolish. We're being prayerful. Are you praying? Are you expressing the love of God now to those in familiar surroundings? Hudson Taylor had this in mind. I'm in England. This is in 1863. I'm in England. This is where I live. If I can't trust God here, how in the world do I think I can trust him way over there? Well, no one will even know where I am. He knew God was there like God was in England. And he trusted him. Are you working at it? How's your schedule for taking care of your body? You sleep on time? You get up on time? Are you disciplined? You can do this. You can train yourself now. Another discipline that is extremely critical is prayer. You can work at this. You can pray 5 minutes a day. Just commit it to the Lord. I will pray 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. If you don't know what to pray, I guarantee you, you make your block of time long enough and you'll find out what to pray because you just sit there otherwise. And you know you're supposed to be praying, so you say something and God will lead you. Prepare yourself to leave a legacy. We have a ministry trip coming up next March. You want to leave a legacy? Maybe you can start preparing yourself to go this time. Would you like to see all of Northeast Iowa reached for Christ, which would mean that our culture would embrace the morality of Jesus? Start with yourself. Start with yourself. Examine your own life. Start loving people now in Jesus' name. Maybe participate in next year's fair booth. Start now. Plan for it. Plan. Think. I'm going to do this next year. I'm going to commit myself because this is a people business that God has involved us in. Jesus said he would make you a fisher of men. What does that mean to you? When are you going to start? You're not too old or too young to start. Maybe Nordic Fest next year. Maybe Faith Walkers this fall. These would be good things in preparing your life to be a legacy that'll go beyond your life. We also have other things. A couple times a year, we go to some regional meetings, things like that. If you want to prepare your life to leave a legacy, join us. Join us in some of these preparations for a spirit-filled life, for a life of danger, a life of loss, and a life of finding Jesus Christ to be all that we gave up and much, 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 much more. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. We can't outgive you. I know it, I know it, I know it. I know it. We cannot outgive you. Thank you that you have called us into something that is more satisfying than the life that we think we should live. You're not about luxury. You're about love. Make our lives that way. We ask it in Jesus' name.